Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Penn Sunday School, and to our listening ears, all nature sings and round us rings the music of the spheres.
Here we go.
There's Matt. This is Penn Sunday School.
Brothers, sisters, siblings, welcome to Penn Sunday School. I'm Matt Donnelly, and we are recording from
Abbey Ranch.
I said Ash.
This is Penn Sunday School.
Ready? I think we have to start over again. We'll take it from the top. Can you reset the music? No. We're going. And this week we are doing the most overproduced version of
this
our podcast we've ever done.
Sunday yep. School.
And here he is, Preach the Love.
brought to you by Masterclass.
I messed up the whole thing.
Masterclass, lifelong learning. We'll talk about this more, but you can get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/pen. Okay, good. Here we are. We are what you referred to as Abbey Ranch Studios, which may or may not be the name of it.
Okay.
But this is the inaugural production in here.
Yes.
We are in Myco, Texas, outside of San Antonio. My friend Tim Jennison, who did of Tim's Vermeer, has fixed himself up with a big old ranch, the size of Amsterdam.
Wow.
Or remember when we used to have Sherry's Berries as an advertiser?
Yeah.
It's the size of one of those berries. It's 1,700 acres with some of it is wild animals.
Yeah. We are, we basically are sitting in a literal embarrassment of riches.
Yes. Yeah. We are in a studio that was built. It's going to be, I predict, the best studio there is.
Yeah.
It's going to be a similar to Abbey Road Studio 2, which is where Los Beatles recorded much of their stuff. Not all of it. They occasionally snuck over to EMI and did a few things.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff on the White Album, but almost all of it at Abbey Road with George
Good. Martin. A lot of people were screaming in their cars that correction.
Sure.
And they were like,
not all produced by George Martin, but much of it.
Right.
Of course, the last one produced by Phil Spector. Produced, I would add, shittily by Phil Spector.
Right.
There's going to be a ceiling put in here. Right now, it's a concrete slab and a kind of beautiful, kind of semi-Quonset hutted shaped thing, but it's not a Quonset hut.
Which you desperately want it to be.
I do. And really nice apartments where maybe someday, you know, Bono and Mick Jagger, when they
do
start
their
living together, will be staying.
They do their album.
And recording stuff here. And they would have all sorts of, you know, he has a Bösendorfer, I don't know how to say it, the best piano.
Oh, okay.
He has the 97? Yeah, Imperial.
I think it's pronounced Casio.
Okay, Imperial piano with the low notes that you can't even hear. You just feel them in your scrotum. That's true. It's 12-foot piano.
Oh, wow. Can I make that my ringtone?
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
And it'll be here. And he has like a Farfisa, and he was very distraught that I was more excited by the Farfisa than the Imperial. But I like a good Farfisa. What I like most about Farfisa, when you turn them off, they do that. That's really nice. That's really good.
Well, this is very impressive.
And he has like, you know, the mix board that all the Wrecking Crew stuff record, all the Beach Boys, all that stuff. And he has like the Chess records stuff. I mean, this is all the real equipment. And this will be what's called a destination studio.
Right.
Which is like the destination Starbucks in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
There's one six-floor.
That's
a destination Starbucks. This is a destination studio.
Well, thank you for putting it in terms we could all understand.
Yeah, sure. Actually, it's triple star day for me on my Starbucks card, and I'm very far from a Starbucks. So this podcast is costing me a motherfucking hot chocolate. And I am here in Texas. Well, I came here in Texas to see the eclipse.
Yeah.
And there was cloud cover. So okay. I'm really here in Texas to see my friend Tim.
Right.
Which is better than a fucking eclipse anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right, right.
I presume Tim comes more often than the eclipse. How was your eclipse?
I had a delightful eclipse.
Was it cloud covered?
A little bit.
Did you see the eclipse at all?
Yes.
Fuck you. Okay.
It was kind of like, you know, like the Times Square, the old quarter machines where the gate would come up. You can watch a girl dance and then it would come down when your quarter ran out.
Quarter?
Sorry, dollar.
To talk to a live new girl, you paid a quarter?
I don't know. I'm going philosophically from what I understood and from what I daydreamed about as a 12-year-old.
I believe it was like $5 for a minute. Yeah. To talk to a live nude girl.
That's what it was. So it was like sexy, and then it would go away, and we'd be like, "Oh shoot!" Let me reach into our pockets, hoping the cloud coverage would go away.
Now, what are you doing? Are you talking about a real event when you went to see a live nude girl, or are you just speculating?
I'm speculating off the stories you told me about Eddie Gordetsky bringing his David Letterman jokes to
David
the live
Letterman
nude
monologue.
Girls. Yeah, David
whole
Letterman
monologue he brought in. Yeah. So you got to see a little bit.
I did.
Who were you with? Whose company do you prefer to ours?
So we were booked years in advance when Brian Brushwood first purchased a 7-acre compound in Austin.
7 acres?
Yeah.
Don't make me laugh. Yeah. I've got chapped
lips. As far as I understand, I don't understand acres, but I understand Amsterdam would be larger than 7 acres.
Yeah, yeah. This is 1,700 motherfucking acres.
Okay.
And a motherfucking acre is a little bigger than an acre, so it's a little over 17. Yeah.
It's like an imperial acre.
Yeah, like the imperial Boxendocker.
Yeah, and long ago, our podcast listenership, they all became friends. They found out the listeners of their pod and listeners of Ice Cream Social all got along. Great night, and Ice Cream Social got along. And so we've done joint events numerous times, and this has been one big windup from 6 years ago to yesterday. He knew that this would be in the path of the eclipse, and he knew he was going to throw a Founders Day event during the eclipse 6 years ago. So I was booked that far in advance.
And how many people were there?
Just over 100.
Oh, that's nice.
Over 100.
And did you do some performance?
I did. There was a VIP little gathering at a Shore Bar and Grill, and I performed in the corner of a private room. I did a magic show in the corner of a room.
Did it go well?
It went very well.
I wasn't there. My.
Well, just say the audience decided to heckle me. And if you ask me whether I'd rather handle hecklers or do a flawless magic show, I'll take hecklers every time. So it was. I brought 20 minutes of material. My show was 35 minutes long, and that was 50 minutes of me just thrashing people.
Did any of the tricks work?
They all worked.
Oh, good.
They all worked.
Behind us,
yeah,
over my left shoulder, yeah, over your right shoulder, is the windscreen, yeah, in front of the Neumann. Is it Neumann? Neumann microphone, which has a very sensitive diaphragm,
uh-huh,
which I in college.
And that's how you got out of Vietnam, right?
Yeah,
sensitive diaphragm.
Very sensitive diaphragm. And only 4 of them were made.
4?
4 of the windscreens. And they were used by the Beatles.
Oh, 4 specifically made for the 4 Beatles.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Ringo got one, right? Fuck Ringo, yeah. But so this probably has behind us John Lennon's spit.
Oh, that's right there. Great.
See, the Neumann is a sensitive microphone.
Yeah.
And John Lennon might have done something irresponsible. One thing irresponsible.
That's it. Otherwise.
Besides kicking to death.
Otherwise a Boy Scout. Yeah.
Heroin, kicking to death, Stu Sutcliffe, and maybe singing too loud in that microphone. So it's a very sensitive diaphragm. If you spit on it, you don't want to spit on it.
Okay.
So they put this special windscreen. And Tim Jennison has it. So when Mick Jagger and Bono, who are having an affair, come here and decide to record their record here,
yeah,
they could probably use that windscreen.
Also, when
Tim won't let us use it, but you'd let Bono use it, right? Yeah, Bono could use it.
When the world becomes too tame and we decide we need to introduce more psychos into it and they want to clone John Lennon,
yeah, exactly,
they will come here first.
When Trump dies. And we need John Lennon. We need a man like that. Yeah. So you had a good time at your eclipse.
I did. They hired a band, or one guy actually, this guy George on piano. He played, he had timed it on his phone, of when the full corona would happen, and he backed it up. And this is really hard, I think, for a musician when you're playing live. But he played the entire Dark Side of the Moon album leading up to the full corona. And right on the line, he nailed it. We all sang, "We'll see you on the dark side of the moon," right when the moon was fully in front of the sun.
That sounds just obnoxious. I mean, who the fuck needs Dark Side of the Moon during a during an eclipse?
No, production value. You got to add a little spice. Yeah,
because the eclipse, moving the sun and earth is not enough. You got to add some dipshit with a piano.
Experiencing the grand coincidence that the moon is a perfect ratio
to
cover the sun.
At 400.
Not enough for us. We got to have a soundtrack. We decided to give it the same treatment we gave watching Wizard of Oz when we were stoners in college.
Anything you can do to make this a little more interesting, the sun's going to go away in the middle of the day. Can we punch this up a little bit? God has this girl he wants to bring into the production.
After George wrapped it up and the corona was there, and then we're moving to the ass end of the eclipse, as they call it, scientists call it, we played Here Comes the Sun, and it was probably recorded on that microphone over your shoulder.
Probably was.
Yeah.
Tootin' doo-doo-doo.
Yeah.
It's a long, cold, lonely winter.
Tim can fact check us, but don't do it, Tim. Let's just let's rest in that moment.
In 2006, August of 2006, an eclipse will fall over Valencia, Spain. So I think I'll be visiting my buddy Hondra.
Oh, man.
Did I say 2006?
I think
2026.
You're going to use your time machine just to go to Spain?
Shut up. I'm going to go buy Microsoft. Then I'm going to go to Spain, and I'm going to buy Spain.
Twenty twenty-six. Because everybody was touting Australia right away in 2028, but there's 2026.
2026. It'll go through a little bit of Portugal. Over, I'm making a gesture with my hands like I could picture any of these countries, which I can't.
Like if we presented you with a globe, you could point at it.
Yeah, if you gave me a globe that was not labeled, I couldn't find Spain. if you gave me a globe that wasn't labeled, I could find Antarctica.
Okay.
I could find the Arctic. I could find the United States, Australia, Tasmania. I could find maybe Hawaii, but I might confuse it with Christmas Island or one of those bullshit places. I could probably find China, but I couldn't separate it from Russia.
Right.
I could probably find Great Britain.
Uh-huh.
I could find Africa.
Okay.
And I think I could find Madagascar.
I would.
And then I'm out. When it gets into that Europe, German, French, but France Croatia. Is across the canal.
No what? Chance you're finding Croatia.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No. I couldn't find Croatia.
You give me an unlabeled globe. I consider it a 50-50 chance I'm going to get Antarctica right.
Whoa. This chair. Horrible event here. Shoot. I think I'm okay.
I tried to trap you, but it didn't work.
No, it didn't. But the microphone caught that exact sound behind us, if it only were recording. So, Matt Donnelly, that's the eclipse. Thanks for asking. My mouth still hurts like a motherfucker.
So has this already been documented on the podcast? Have it not been
a little bit. I went to a doctor.
I went to a rehearsal with you, and I just thought you were in a bad mood.
Yeah, I was in a bad mood.
No, but I didn't think anything. It wasn't until I went to your show that they were bringing you water on stage that I was like, oh, something different has happened.
I'm always in a bad mood at rehearsals.
That's not true.
Mostly.
Sullen.
But boy, sullen. I'm always sullen at rehearsals. Moxie described a rehearsal with Penn & Teller as I sit and scowl for a long time, then say, I've got an idea.
Mox is not wrong.
I scowl a lot during rehearsals. But I went to this oral surgeon.
Okay.
Oh, how fancy, fancy-ass oral surgeon. And they said to me, your wife said she was going to do the paperwork, but she didn't. Will you fill out the paperwork? Okay. And I said, look at me. You think I'm going to do the paperwork? You tell me. And they said, no, you got to fill out this paperwork. I said, how about you fuck yourself? I said, I'll scrawl something on here so you can say you did your part. And then I explained, I told Piff this last week, I explained that I spend all my time working for world peace. So the time they made me fill out that stupid form, people would die in Gaza. And I hope they, and you know what the x-ray technician said? I'm okay with that. I didn't fill out much of the paperwork. And then I gave them too much consent. I wrote in the consent form, you can kill me and you can be your fault and my family won't sue you. I'm ready to die. Pen.
Wow.
I cleared all that up. And then they didn't give me drugs. Piff said you're supposed to demand drugs. But I said, no, I don't.
Well, Piff does that everywhere he goes.
Yeah, I know. Piff demands drugs. So I didn't get any drugs. And, you know, when they have you shot up and you're totally numb, you think, oh, cut it all out of there. Get it all good. First of all, I don't need this procedure. I didn't need it. It was recreational.
Wait,
The doctor said to me, I know exactly what this is and how to fix it, but let's biopsy it just to be safe.
What is it?
Which means I want $1,200.
What is the primary incident?
$1,200 in my pocket. I had a lesion in the bottom of my cheek against my gum line that had been there, I felt, too long.
Okay.
I'm happy with it visiting for a little while. But it'd been there too long. So I went to a dentist who said, I know what this is, but my friend's an oral surgeon who needs some money too. So go to him. Then the oral surgeon said, you know, I know exactly what that is, and there's an over-the-counter thing that I can give you for $3 that'll fix it, but I could use $1,200 cash in your credit card right now. So he said, let's schedule you. And I said, I'm coming in Wednesday. I don't have a show that night. I come in Wednesday. He said, I'm fully booked. I said, do I care? He said, how about 2:00? I said, okay. So I went in there, and it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. And then the anesthetic wore off, and it was horrible.
Ooh.
Horrible. And then I think he said it would heal in like 3 days, but I think he knew I was doing a show, but he probably thought that the way I do a show is like the volume I'm talking now.
Right.
And that's not the way I do a show.
No.
I scream like a motherfucking idiot.
Yeah.
So I was ripping it apart every night. So the pain, ooh, I was doing that 4 hours Advil, 6 hour Tylenol thing
that
they have old people do when they're suffering.
Yeah.
And it helped. Still hurt like a bastard. And then it also then screwed up my stomach.
Right.
And then that in turn screwed up my sleep.
Right.
And that made everything miserable. So I arrived here Sunday down here at Abbey Ranch Studios. And I was feeling really shitty.
Yeah.
Really shitty. But I'm feeling a little better now because I haven't been screaming like a nut.
Right.
I've been resting. And we saw, did I tell you that he's got exotic animals on this?
No.
He's considered the Escobar of Texas.
Pablo Escobar?
But yeah.
That's complete with the drug running or?
Oh, he does less of the drug running and more of the animals. Yeah. No, you know about the cocaine. Well,
when he gets to the phase where he hosts the national soccer team, I'll come back.
But you know about the cocaine hippos?
No.
You don't know about the cocaine hippos?
I've heard the term and it feels like something I should know, but I do not know.
Pablo
about the
Escobar
hippos.
In Colombia had an exotic collection of animals on his property.
Yeah.
And when they arrested his ass or shot his, whatever they did, I don't know.
Yeah.
They just ignored the animals. And the hippos, I was going to say ran, but lumbered.
Yeah.
The hippos lumbered off property, and now there are like 50. They're reproducing quickly.
Ooh.
Because hippos fuck like hippos.
Well, because
if they fuck like rabbits, they kill each other.
If you are under the control of a drug lord,
yeah,
and you are suddenly free,
yeah,
that's not a hippo exclusive that wants to fuck. I keep bursting your chair. Right on my punchlines, by the way.
I know, right? Oh, I'm always there. So there's now, and they're scourge upon Colombia because they are running amok.
Because of the cocaine hippos because they escaped Pablo Escobar's.
Yeah, they're not on cocaine.
They're not on cocaine.
No.
Okay.
But they're eating all the local Colombian wildlife.
Well, hippos are crazy dangerous no matter what.
Yes. I told my son that hippos were the second most dangerous animal in the world after mosquitoes.
Right.
And he looked it up and it wasn't right. I don't know who the fuck raised him to check facts.
Yeah.
But it pisses me off.
I've always heard the mosquito-hippo debate as well.
Yeah.
But I'm just wrong too.
Well, what he found
kills the most people in Africa.
What's that?
Kills the most people in Africa.
Hippos kill the most people in Africa.
Aside from mosquitoes, that's where the
Okay.
I see. You have to put in Africa on there, because if you add other countries in, then dogs actually enter the fray.
Yeah, there's no hippos in Canada, just tearing it up.
But there will be, because that's where my new drug operation is running. So
I'll be over here when we revisit where Croatia is too.
Where is Croatia?
It's across the street from Italy.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Is there Italy?
Yeah, it's across the ocean.
Huh.
The Mediterranean?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, goddamn. I didn't know that. I thought Croatia was up in...
Did you hear me feel good about remembering the Mediterranean?
It's
dangling from Hungary.
I want to say that Tim is responsible.
Okay.
And all of his animals are government approved.
And well, thank
you. And he has a herd. There's this kind of animal that when Tim says it, it sounds like he's having a stroke. What animal is that? Orc.
Orcs.
Orc.
Orcs.
Orc. And orcs are extinct.
What?
In the wild.
Oh.
But Tim has 35 of them running around here. And there's another 1,000 or something other places. But we saw them.
Because Tim drove me here. And what's the vehicle? Kawasaki Mule. So Tim drove me here. Already felt like Jurassic Park. So if he had like extinct animals now resurrected and running around his ranch, I would not be surprised.
He's really very close to that. Yeah. Very close to a Jurassic Park vibe. And we went on a safari, hence my hat.
Yeah, you are wearing a safari hat.
Do you see that my hat is similar to Tim Jennison's hat?
It's not... Is it identical?
Well, identical in the original sense meant the same thing.
Ah.
But this is one just like it.
Okay.
Tim gave it to me because I coveted his hat. No one else on earth could get me to wear this hat, but I want to be Tim Jennison.
Yeah. You know, I get it.
I want to be smart and I want to be all those things.
Yes.
But he's got bees. There's an apiary. Mostly his wife takes care of the apiary. And there's chickens. Mox is very excited about the chickens.
Are there honey and eggs from this?
Honey and eggs. Oh, and I considered, man. I wasn't offered, by the way.
Yeah.
It wasn't offered to me. But I considered being a vegan that maybe I would have eggs from these chickens. I haven't had eggs in 6 years.
Right.
I would have eggs from these chickens because they were so happy. These are happy chickens.
They're very well taken care of.
Oh, very well taken care of. I would live the life of this chicken.
Because I pay $2 of guilt at the grocery store.
Yeah. Well, stop eating eggs. The reason that first reason I wasn't offered.
Yeah.
Second reason, there is no reasonable dose of eggs. Eggs are just bad for you.
All right.
Eggs like alcohol.
I was going to say there's flack on this on the internet, except that, no, there's just one person who hated that you talked about this with Kramer.
Not even a person. Could be a bot for all
Could
we
be a bot.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, sure, if I had 3 eggs, if I were offered at Tim's house, it wouldn't do me
Don't
real
damage.
Do you think
you weren't offered because everyone's very aware of your diet?
I'm sure that's the reason.
Yeah.
Because Leslie's very nice to me. She likes me.
Or do you think the eggs are just so good
that they want to keep them?
They don't want anyone touching them.
Anyways, there's eggs and there's honey.
It's a waste on you. These eggs are a waste on you.
And there's koi fish.
Uh-huh.
I love koi fish.
Oh.
And we went on the safari. It's really a wonderful, wonderful place.
You don't eat honey?
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't really made a decision.
You're
on
not
it.
Passionate about it one way
I'm
or the
not
other.
Passionate one way or the other. But I like bees, you know.
Right.
And I said to Leslie, I said, you know, I would like to have a beehive.
Yeah.
And not tend to it at all. Not take any honey from it. Let the bees have their honey. Because you know what they do with bees? Apiarists. Apiarist, which is near Croatia, right across the Baltic Sea from Croatia, is apiarist. What you're doing is you're taking the honey away,
uh-huh.
And then if the bees need food, you give them sugar water. So you're fucking ripping off.
They would normally just eat their own honey.
Yes, that's why they're doing it. Why do you think they're doing it?
I just thought it was a weird... I never thought about it at all. I'm trying to justify what I thought about in the previous past, and the answer is nothing. I thought nothing about it, and I'm just an uncurious ogre.
No, the honey is stored food for the hive that'll last over the winter.
I bet Tim's bees eat their own honey.
Well, that's what Leslie said. She said she doesn't like taking it away from them, really.
Good.
It's like calves with milk. You know, they take the calves away from the cows and then feed them shit water and sell the milk at the grocery store.
Right.
I mean, the cows themselves don't sell the milk at the grocery store. If they did, that would be even more pathetic. Please, just a little something. Give me some grain.
Do you know what I'm feeding my kids right now? Just buy some milk for me, man.
Yeah, please.
Walmart parking lot next to the guy with speakers.
Rock boxes. Now, you also went to Paris?
I did. I went to Paris.
That's Paris, France.
Family.
Could you pick it out in a globe?
I think I could.
You really? You can find France?
Let's say yes.
Okay. I don't think. Well, France is right across the English Channel.
Right.
So I might be able to get this side of it.
That's what
I'm talking about. There being no lines.
No labels.
No lines. No lines either.
Oh, no lines?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. No. Then I can't. That's a no for me.
Okay.
And I was in the Louvre with my children.
Yeah, you're such a jet setter. you know, the microphone behind us was used by the Beatles.
And my kids would appreciate that more than they appreciated most stuff in the Louvre. And I was actually in here going like, what would Penn do in here? Because the way you go through museums, you are very patient.
Yeah.
And you tend to go...
I am annoying to go to museums with.
So how...
I'm annoying to go anywhere with.
I don't think Tim gives a matching hat to an annoying person. I think he only gives it to people he likes spending time.
Okay. Tim and I get along, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been to the Louvre.
I have. It's the opposite of the story you're telling. I was not thorough in the Louvre.
Oh.
Because I was in Paris for 24 hours, which was more than enough. And during that time, I had a sound check, a show, and I had a sleep. So we went to the Louvre, saw the Mona Lisa, ran out. Now, what's great about the Mona Lisa, which you saw.
Yes.
Maybe they've changed this, but it has glass over it.
Yes. No, it does. That's, and then.
That's reflective.
Oh, okay.
So you get to see people looking at what they think's the greatest piece of art in the world.
Yeah.
Which is only the greatest piece of art in the world because it was stolen and got a lot of press.
Yeah.
But I just said, you know that thing Copperfield does about Houdini?
Yeah.
When they say to Copperfield, you know, what do you think about Houdini? He said, he was really good with press. Like, fuck you. I just said about the Mona Lisa. I said about the Mona Lisa. Yeah, greatest piece of work. It had really good press. That's what I just said about the fucking Mona Lisa. That is the type of dick I am.
And walking in, it was all my kids wanted to see.
The Mona Lisa?
Yeah.
Because of Nat King Cole?
Yeah. I don't know if you remember this, but it had just been attacked with soup.
Yeah. I had a big argument with LOD about the attack with soup.
Whether it was a valid protest or an invalid protest?
He claimed, and I think correctly, I believe this, like most arguments people have with me, he's right, but I'm arguing against him.
Uh-huh.
He thought that environmentalists gluing themselves to great paintings and throwing soup on great paintings and doing that was hurting the environmentalist movement. And I said, that might be true, but I think it's a valid protest. And they don't ever hurt the art. They never hurt the art.
Right.
And they also, their point is,
you
shouldn't be more upset about art than the destruction of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a valid point.
If we understand that most people on the left see issues as problems to be resolved as a society, and most people on the right see problems as solved by punishing people, it's important for you to set up your protest so it doesn't look like you're causing damage when you're not. Because they will just assume that you are, and that will never be overcome in their head.
Right. If you're talking about being effective, which is what protests are supposed to do, I sometimes think of protests as art in and of themselves, which don't need to accomplish anything. Okay. That was my argument with Lawrence O'Donnell.
It's tough.
Also, crazy gluing your head to the wall of a museum, Duchamp would say is art anyway.
You know, people were doing that at basketball games.
Gluing themselves to the Mona Lisa?
At the basketball. No, gluing themselves to the floor, basketball floor, and trying to like tie themselves to the basketball hoops for environmental protest.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, it was happening up in Minnesota. I guess the owner of the Timberwolves, Glenn Taylor, is particularly, I don't even know, but he's a particularly environmental enemy, I guess, or whatever. So they
pisses in the woods or something?
Yeah. It's very strange to watch someone try to glue themselves to something. And in this case, by the time I went to the Mona Lisa with my fam, they had moved the line that you could get to the Mona Lisa back, and they had 7 guards.
All with enigmatic smiles. They actually cast the guards. They'd be kind of like...
All of them with their body turned away, but like them looking towards me as if I just walked in the room.
Mona Lisa must have had the highway blues. You can tell by the way she smiles.
Yeah.
As the bard from Minnesota said.
Yeah.
I kept saying, first of all, Tim had about, I don't know, 40, 50 people up there on the hill, something. And then I kept turning to Moxie and going, darkness at the break of noon, shadows even a silver spoon, handmade blade, a child's balloon, eclipses both the sun and moon. To understand you know too soon, there is no sense in trying. Mm-hmm. And Moxie kept saying, shut up. That is, of course, from It's All Right, Mom, Only Bleeding.
Right.
By the bard from Minnesota.
All right.
And that, during the eclipse, I always think that. Because it's about the eclipse and it's Bob Dylan. And I'm always thinking about Bob Dylan. Now, if he had, why don't you get yourself a Bob Dylan pop filter? That one I would use, you know. I would ask you very nicely if I could use that. So, by the way, it's a very nice
song. You didn't send me a Dylan song this morning.
I didn't.
No, I sent you
Gilbert Gottfried. I don't know if you can. I got sent that by Dara, so I don't know if you can get it easily.
Oh, okay.
But it is a is Gilbert Gottfried's eclipse bit.
Oh.
Is like everything Gilbert Gottfried does, transcendent.
Very
you know, nice. We should talk a little bit about, want to talk about Masterclass?
Hello.
Okay. Masterclass. Masterclass for lifelong learning. 180 different instructors, more than that.
Yeah.
11 categories.
Yeah.
It's really good. You know, even Piff learned stuff from Masterclass.
Wow.
He was talking about that. You know, getting something through Piff's head, not easy.
Well, especially because nothing, they don't deliver physical things to your doorstep.
I know. But here's what he admitted last week.
Yeah.
He has two subscriptions. So it does fit the Piff, the Piff thing. Somewhat. What have you been listening to?
I just finished Noam Chomsky.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Of course,
that's got to be a good one.
I know Noam, and wish it were spelled with a G. We all do.
Yeah.
But that's a really good one, right?
I learned that I am not smart.
Noam Chomsky. That's a thing he can teach you faster than anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You really know. This is what smart looks like with Noam Chomsky.
Yeah.
And you also, Frank Gehry, right?
Yes.
That's a great one. You can get it produced beautifully.
You can just click for audio only.
And you can get extra PDFs if you like homework. And
yes.
The cooking stuff has recipes and all that stuff. And it's really wicked good. And it's the best people, not just the best instructors, the best people in the world. And I just blanked. Who does the magic one?
Oh, that's you and Teller.
Oh, that's right. It's the best people in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Teller and I have and once you get a membership, you have access to all of them.
Yes.
All of them. So it's not like you have to pick and choose. You don't have to say, I don't know if I'm going to do an add-on of Steve Martin. There's no add-ons. You get everything just like that. Ron Howard, Steve Martin, Noam Chomsky, Bill Maher.
Amy Poehler.
Get them all. You don't even have to rank them by intelligence. You can just study them all, and they're really, really good. And if you want to, if you're a listener to this, and who isn't that's listening to this, you can get a 15% off your membership at masterclass.com/pen. 15% off masterclass.com/pen. Masterclass.com/pen. Oh, it's getting better every time. It's really like that breakdown in Twisted Shout. Right? Let's see if we get one more with Tim in it. Masterclass.com/pen. There we go.
Good
now
stuff.
It's really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to cross my legs. This chair is going to break. It's going to hurt my back. My friendship with Tim will be over, and I will sue him, and then I will have 35 animals that are extinct in the wild. So, what else did you do in Paris besides see the Mona Lisa? Did you have more to say about the Mona Lisa?
I was struck by the sculptures more than the paintings, but I didn't expect. I didn't realize how old
you didn't expect paintings in the Louvre?
I didn't expect to be impressed by the sculptures more than the paintings.
I saw a fly flew into your mouth. It was really disgusting.
It's really gross.
And we both tried to ignore it.
It's really that fly was really arrogant. It was bothering my hair. I couldn't catch it. He was going to win. Then he went to my mouth. Big mistake.
Fuck you.
This mouth is very experienced at destroying everything that enters.
Okay, so good sculpture.
I was really curious to see.
Is Calder a sculptor or is Calder a out of business department store in New England?
I think one does not rule out the other.
Okay.
Yeah. Michelangelo's The Captive and the Slave were there. And I was curious to see those sculptures because my friend, Steve Shaheen, who studied sculpture in Italy, when he was commissioned to make a 9/11 memorial, made these beautiful towers with sculptures trying to, with people trying to like basically come out of the sculpture, but they're stuck. And it's this really, really powerful artistic image that's in Monmouth County, New Jersey. And I couldn't believe I could go see the actual statues that inspired him to do that. So I was really curious. It was very awesome to go see those two statues that were on display there. And the Venus de Milo, I was not aware of how much older it was than all of the other famous sculptures. And I think it's like interesting that people weren't even positive who made it. And it was kind of just sitting somewhere for a while before they found it.
From Croatia.
Yeah, from, yeah, right across the Baltic Sea. But yeah, so I was really, really impressed by the, by those things. And anytime my kids got bored, I pointed to something and I said, make a comic. And then we got into basically caption contests.
I see.
And I kept my kids when they were getting bored.
You can win.
Yeah.
Every one of those by just saying, what a party, I was blind for 3 days. Under any painting, anywhere. And you just win. You didn't give them that, right?
No, you didn't
give them the nuclear option.
The crowning of the Napoleon, all of that works, yeah, for, exactly. It all works for that.
What a party, I was blind for 3 days.
Little kid choking a duck. Yeah. That was one of our faves. Yeah. No, I mean, it's so impressive. It's so overwhelming. You can't possibly take in. That's the hardest part, is it's such an impressive collection.
Like most things,
yeah.
If you go for 10 minutes, you have no problem taking it all in. But usually, you're right, when I go to museums, I like to read every caption.
Yes.
Listen to every audio thing about it.
Yeah.
Hit every link.
Yeah.
Go all the way through. And that's why the Bob Dylan Museum is taking me, you know.
Yeah.
I've been 20 hours and still haven't finished.
Same with, oh, I'm blanking.
Salvador Dali.
Yeah.
Went through that very, very slowly.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a new...
That's a small one.
What's that?
That's a small museum.
Small museum, yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But beautiful. I like Dali.
Yeah.
I have a new Spanish teacher now. And he was talking a lot about Dali.
And it, you also, what apps are you using right now?
Listeners, I just use Duolingo now, although I have subscriptions to others.
Okay.
Because my talking 90 minutes to Hondro a week,
uh-huh,
and 90 minutes to Ramon, who's my new teacher,
yeah,
kind of does most of my Spanish. Although there was, I did this again. I've been feeling guilty about this forever. I'm here at the ranch.
Yeah.
And there are several people who speak Spanish. Tim's childhood friend speaks Spanish very well.
Uh-huh.
And Tim kindly tried to get me to speak Spanish to him, and I choked.
You clammed up.
I did. And I thought I couldn't do that with Ramon, but Ramon, right away, I kind of clicked in to talk Spanish for 90 minutes. But I choke so easily. And I guess that's very common among people who don't know Spanish. that's a common not speaking Spanish.
In France, when they spoke French to me, I also clammed up I don't speak the language.
Yeah, yeah. That's what happens.
I'd say one of the eeriest effects is that the amount of people that know enough English in France obviously is a significant amount.
Well, in your tourist area.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you were in Alsace-Lorraine.
No.
Which I don't even know what that is. What is Alsace-Lorraine?
I don't know either.
Okay, no one knows.
It's kind of quiche. But what happens is, like, you'll go to look for a bathroom and people will be speaking French and it's like you're in like a weird matrix. They suddenly can just look at you and their face changes and they go up and to the left and then they go back to speaking French like normal.
They could tell you were American? they could sense that?
I was walking with the free Budweiser shirt I got from the bar.
Walking up and said, hey, buddy, do you fuckers know where the bathroom is? Where's the shitter?
But it looked so like alien, though. It looked so strange. It was as if they were like, burning themselves. from their CIA protection. To
tell what else have you done since the last time you were on the podcast?
I've been on tour. So I went to New Albany, Indiana, Chicago Magic Lounge, San Diego.
Did those all go well?
They went very well. It is always so fun to go back to the Chicago Magic Lounge.
You also stopped in to Sideshow Gelato.
That's right.
I saw you signing your name above mine.
That's right.
Fucker. do you like Sideshow Gelato?
Oh, it was so cool. I mean, you know, obviously we've been tracking his journey trying to get the place opened and getting it all made, and it's fantastic. He brought back my gelato.
Is it doing pretty well?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's doing well.
Doing some business?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In fact, you know,
I'm on the board of directors.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to expand Sideshow Gelato to 1,700 acres and have extinct animals running around. So you have your gelato, then you go out on a safari.
There was a guy, Eric Bartlett, a variety performer, came in from Boston to do the show that I was doing, and his wife preferred my gelato to the one that was named after Eric's.
And
it was a little awkward.
Oh, good.
But then the three of us worked it out.
We like that kind of awkward.
it's the highest compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
When you were the outside party and other people are being awkward about, nothing better. Nothing better.
And so they decided to put on a real sideshow before I went up. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot of, you know, hanging bowling balls from earlobes and balloons through noses and, you know, mm-hmm. putting arms in raccoon traps, all kinds of stuff. Yep. And I was like, great, bring up the biggest wuss to close it out.
I bet you said that too.
I did say that. And then I said, nothing says like an authentic sideshow like piling all of our props in front of the fire exit, which is also what happened at the show.
It's like when we have those Halloween pumpkin patches.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we used to take the children there.
Yeah.
And Emily would say, I'm worried about them going on the ride. And I'd say, it's not like a fly-by-night operation run by a bunch of junkies hiring people who've never seen the equipment before and put together by people in the middle of the night who know nothing about the equipment. It's not like that's what we're doing. Yeah, the true sideshow tradition is there's no fire exit. No.
But it was a blast, and lost in it. I said this to Jay quickly, but I'll say it again as people probably pass this along. He should talk about how much passion he puts into his gelato. There's a lot of passion for the sideshow on display. A lot of passion for their shows.
It is the best gelato I've ever had.
Like one person,
and it's not all for vegan assholes.
No,
it's not all for insufferable vegan cunts. You can actually get gelato that a human being who gets along with other people could eat. Yeah,
like someone brought up the pistachio, and then he had just an unbelievable understanding of how pistachios are grown everywhere in America, how the crops are doing in the world.
He probably knew that they're not nuts.
Yeah,
he probably knew that.
Yeah, yeah,
and that American pistachios. America started growing pistachios right when Penn and Teller teamed up. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
The American pistachio growers are the exact same age as Penn and Teller's act, and we're thinking of teaming up.
Oh.
We are. A different kind of nut.
Oh, that's great.
I know a little bit about pistachios, so don't just think only your friend Jay knows pistachios. But Jay makes the pistachio gelato.
Yeah.
Now, the vegan one is the best gelato I've ever had. I imagine the non-vegan one is better. And the pangeletto, the one named after me, which is chocolate, cayenne, and blueberry. Oh, so goddamn good. If you're anywhere near Chicago and you don't go to Sideshow Gelato, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
It's as easy as that.
It's
self-destructive asshole.
Has to be said.
Yeah.
It has to be said.
I'm glad he's doing well because I wasn't optimistic. It's one of those things that's too good to be successful.
Yeah.
You say, you know, they'll probably put in a shitty 7-Eleven instead or something.
It is, it is hard.
They'll sell jerky.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And Chicago's a big city.
It's a big city, but it's really, really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Moxie is going to do a month there.
Yeah.
Mox is going to go in and do some scooping and some magic.
And that's what makes it so cool. He is actually supporting so many artists and hiring so many people.
Can you imagine when you were 17 years old, if you had gotten a job there and been able to scoop and then go on stage and do 10 and then go back and scoop?
Yeah.
That 10 minutes, you'd be good after a summer.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You'd be good.
Yeah. It's a great place to gain flight time, for sure.
Incredible. Yeah, yeah. And you get good gelato.
Yeah,
and they have also good sodas and other stuff, but it's overshadowed by the gelato.
Yeah.
And I also like that he has so much charity stuff. He has the world's smallest ice cream cone. Did you see that?
Yeah, for a dollar.
For a dollar, you get the world's smallest ice cream cone. It's like the size of a dime, and you pay a dollar for it, and it all goes to charity.
That's such a cool idea.
It's a really nice idea. Jay's just a great guy. Go to Sideshow Gelato. Do you know where it is? You don't know where it is.
No.
Croatia.
Chicago is good enough of an answer for me.
It's right across the Baltic Sea. You can you
I
can
think
find
it. Andersonville?
Underneath Serbia.
Right below the Canadian cocaine hippos.
And what else did you do? Where else did you play? The Chicago Magic Lounge.
Yeah. That place is always so fun. It's such a beautiful venue. And they are just assembling an army of really good magicians, slowly but surely, right? Like, they all started there.
I'm a little worried. I start our show by saying Las Vegas is the magic capital of the world.
Right.
And Chicago's getting really good. Chicago did that with fucking jazz and blues, too, you know.
Right.
It was always New Orleans, and Chicago swoops in. You got to watch out. And theater, they swoop in. You got to watch out for Chicago.
They do.
They'll fuck you.
And they already did bar magic.
Yeah, they already did that.
Well, so they already did bar magic. That's what they end up showcasing and talking a lot about. But all these guys have been there now for years, and they're all backstage, and they're all like, you know, like you, and there's like, I'm in Chicago, I'm headlining, I got my stuff. And they're like, yeah, it's a Monday for us. And they just clock again, and they don't, you know, it's like whatever. But then they all burn each other, they all educate each other, they all talk about each other. And because it's been there for a while now, they've all had to fill in for everyone everywhere. So everyone knows people, not only can they go do their strolling set. They could do the opener if the opener doesn't show up. They could headline if the headliner doesn't show up. They could do the close-up lines if the close-up lines doesn't show up. They could do bar magic if that guy gets sick. They all can do every kind of magic now because it's been open long enough that they're all just
We're starting to see that on Fool Us, that the Magic Lounge pops up all the time.
Yeah.
Just all the time.
It's just a good group of people there.
It's very, very good.
But a blast. Particularly, I was always joking around with Ryan Plunkett and Paige Thompson, so shout-out to those two. I had a blast with them hosting us. And Ben Barnes, of course.
Ben Barnes was just at our show.
Yeah.
Ben Barnes came on and did his show, and it was really good. He was really great.
Yeah.
Amanda Nepo was on.
Oh, very cool.
And she had a false start.
Oh, no.
So we had to bring down the curtain. And then I did 4 minutes about Teller standing next to me on stage. And, of course, we didn't know I had to do 4 minutes there. So I was talking about Allen Ginsberg. Because that ties in with magic. I was talking about close-up magic and how you have to stand naked on stage, as Allen Ginsberg said. And then Teller was standing next to me going, the green light, there's a green light in the back that signals me that they're ready backstage. And Teller thought, if the green light doesn't come on, Ben's going to recite Howl by Allen Ginsberg. And then if the green light doesn't come on, then Ben will start talking about Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
And then Amanda will not get on, you know, till after midnight.
Yeah.
But she got it back together very quickly and came on, did a wonderful performance that they liked. And we've had a lot of Foolers on. And they've been doing great.
Alex Ramona's coming to do a show soon.
Oh, really?
Good. He's coming to do his show with you guys.
Good.
I bring that up because it's going to be around. Scoop Fest is coming up. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do a Fooler's reunion show at Scoop Fest.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
That'll be really. Oh, you're going to do a whole show?
We can't do the whole show. Mm-hmm. But we have started the permission process with Glenn and Nate. But we want to do four of the bits that you lent us.
Good luck getting permission from Glenn. I can't get permission to you.
We'll see. And then we'll just do little solo hunks for ourselves.
Oh, that'll
be nice.
We can't
do the full deal. And that show was too long anyway. But yeah, and also while I was not here, my t-shirt cannon trick aired on Fool Us.
Uh-huh, how'd that go?
On air looked great.
What was the comment that Handsome Jack made?
He goes, Handsome Jack, who watched me do many versions of the t-shirt cannon when I did my last run at the Magic Castle. He goes, you know, I've been trying to think about how to fix your t-shirt cannon trick because something's there. Enough is there, but it's not great yet. And I realized the answer is just put it on Fool Us and let them edit it.
So it came off really well?
It came off very well. Something that was edited out because I did have some editing help me out while I was doing the trick, and I'll say this openly because I don't do this method anymore, but I had a gimmicked chair on stage. You came up and you let me know that you saw the gimmick chair right away with your eyeballs. Let me know you felt it. You put your good grip on those t-shirts and then looked at the chair and looked at me and said, okay, you want me to do something? And it's like,
I didn't even think of that. There must be a moment when the Foolers are performing when Teller and I have an eyes go to the wrong place.
Oh.
And you just go, oh, it's over.
Oh, well, let me tell you. So while I was loading the t-shirt, the one that you signed, wink, into the t-shirt cannon, mm-hmm. I look over at Teller while I'm delivering dialogue, continuing the premise of the trick. And Teller just gives me a dead-eyed stare, then stares directly at the gimmick chair, and then stares back at me like, really? While I'm doing the trick. And this thing is like, there's an expression in magicians talk about some, that guy's burning me, right? Yep. And that's just when a regular layperson or some like birthday party magician wants to show off for his friends, so he just watches everything you do. Uh-huh. And, it feels annoying because that one person is just doing it to you while everyone else is watching.
Yeah.
To have your friends, who are much more experienced magicians, do it to you while you're doing the trick just for them. Is the strangest, weirdest, uncomfortable feeling there is.
Well, the problem is that Teller and I get into the groove,
yeah,
of doing Fool Us and playing the game.
Yeah, you're playing the game.
And because we're in the groove of playing the game, I'm afraid our grace goes away. You know, our grace and our kindness goes away.
Yeah.
Teller and I will watch a guy do a double lift and actually make eye contact with each other right afterwards. We would never do that if we weren't on the show.
Right, right, right.
Ever.
You were just taking in a show at a theater.
But the grace is...
Your asses are on the line. That's why
you're... My ass will be on the floor really soon. This chair just keeps breaking a little bit by a little bit.
Yeah, you guys are playing the game.
Yeah.
But it is hysterical. It is the strangest looks. Like, you know... For you to monkey with my stuff right away, I was like, oh, okay, all right, just, okay, I get it.
I'll just tell you something. You were not going to win.
Yes, that part is true. And that's the thing is, so I was like, I know, you know, they're nicer to their friends. I said, what? What'd you hear?
Talk to Matt King about that.
Yeah.
Talk to Matt King about being nicer to our friends.
Yeah, exactly. Talk to Vinny Grasso about being nicer to your friends.
You know, it's a really funny thing. After I, you know, fucked Vinny Grasso, a new asshole,
yeah,
on that show and destroyed him,
yeah,
I called him up and said, you know the gimmick you used to try to fool us?
Yeah.
Can we get that from you? We want to use it in a trick. It's really good. And Vinny was like, okay. I guess that is really adding insult to injury. You know that trick you didn't fool me with?
Yeah.
I want to do it and fool others with it.
Yeah, yeah. No. I was aware that I was doing a comedy routine incorporating you and Brooke.
Here's the thing. We knew you were doing a comedy routine too, so we should not have been assholes. But
yeah, I don't.
We just can't stop it. We're in a groove.
Oh, of course.
And we try to be very nice talking,
yeah.
But when people are watching, if you're watching our eyes, you're fucked.
Well, and to be more than fair, big picture wise, right? If you watch the clip, Penn, you give me a very nice compliment, and then you say, but now we got to play the game of whether or not you fooled us, and I give the most sarcastic, "Ooh, let's see how it goes." look on the face that did make air. And the reason why is that I fucked up the trick twice during the taping. So not only were you not giving me a trophy, no one in that audience was giving me a trophy. And so, and also on the same...
I also want to say with a great deal of pride,
yeah,
with a great deal of pride, any other jive-ass motherfucking show on TV would leave those things in.
100%.
And make the people look like dipshits. You know that.
No, I mean, if I was on America's Got Talent,
mm-hmm,
and that happened,
mm-hmm,
I'd be buzzed out and there'd be a psychiatrist waiting for me in the wings.
And they would air it.
Yeah.
They would air you fucking up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this show, I have worked on the show, so I am part of Fool Us.
You're the writer on the show.
I'm the writer on the show. We haven't even cut a contestant in like 4 or 5 seasons. You know, sometimes magicians wouldn't make air in the first time. So it used to be much more game show element driven. So if they messed up their trick, it was like, sorry, you lost the game show.
Yeah.
And we won't air it. Now they really make sure that you get through a taping.
And you look good.
And you look good.
Yeah.
And it helps people get work.
Yeah. Boy, the people that come back to do our show, the live show after their thing is aired,
yeah,
it really helps them get work.
Look, the first time I went on, I also went up with I've been on twice with not the most sophisticated magic tricks. my first one was just to get work, and it worked. You contact a theater, you give them the YouTube clip, they see that you're on TV, they look at the views, and they go, sure, you can work here. And that's the way it works. And that's how I started touring. So there's no mistaking it. I don't have an agent. No one helps me book my stuff. It's just uploading my trick to YouTube is my business card.
So you just saw a little bit of the ranch.
Yes.
I don't know if it'll be called Abbey Ranch. Yeah.
It's a fine placeholder right now.
Yeah. It's, I just can't wait. I'm kind of taking it all in because I can't wait to come back. If I'm invited again, you know, maybe I'm a bad guest and Tim will always say, I'm sorry, I'm out of town then.
Sir, your hat. Give me your hat. You've no longer deserved.
You are no longer welcome on this ranch. But if I am invited back and do come back when it's all built, I can't wait to see it.
Oh yeah.
I can't wait to walk in this room and just have Tim look at me, smile, and say, "Don't touch anything." Nothing. No, not even the farfisa. You can't play the farfisa.
I was excited because we got here, then the gate opened, and then we realized we're not there yet.
Oh yeah, it's a long way. We still have to go. It's like what, 2 miles?
We still have to go a long way.
You go a long way. Yeah, yeah. It's a long driveway. Yeah. In the winter, Tim shovels it all himself. the entire driveway, Tim is out there shoveling. But of course, when he shovels with a Duchamp snow shovel. That's the kind of classy guy he is. He has the actual. Pearl there's handle. The pop filter with the spit from John Lennon, and he has Duchamp's hand sweat.
Yeah.
On his snow shovel, in anticipation of next year's Broken Arm. Is that the name of that piece?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, you know, Duchamp just hung a snow shovel up. And would you look up the name of Duchamp's snow shovel? I think it's in anticipation of next year's Broken Arm, or maybe Broken Leg, but which is, you know, it's just a snow shovel. It's part of Duchamp's ready-mades.
Yeah.
Duchamp's sort of the Dadaist, and I really enjoyed him.
I remember, who's the artist that?
Prelude to a Broken Arm.
What's that?
Prelude to a Broken Arm.
Prelude, not anticipated. Prelude to a Broken Arm. I had the right limb broken.
Yeah. The guy who taped a banana to a wall.
Yeah.
And then people try to argue that wasn't it. And now it's like one of the most iconic things I can think of.
Yeah.
Like if you do that, everyone will laugh that's a piece of art.
Yeah. You know, the one answer that's been given a zillion times is when people say, I could do that. The answer is, but you didn't, did you?
Ask? Right. Yeah.
It's the only answer to anything about art like that.
Yeah. I got to start talking. I got to teach that lesson to my kids. I got to say to my kids, but you didn't asshole, did you? Right. Teach them about art.
Yeah. That's what you teach them. And what a wild party. I was blind for 3 days. You win any competition. What else did you see in Paris?
I saw the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. You go up in it?
Uh-oh.
What's that?
Did you go up?
All the way up, yeah.
All the way up. When I was first, I actually did this. Maybe I wouldn't do it now, but at that time, I was just an American. It's not like there was zero chance someone would be able to say my name.
Right.
So I walked into a French restaurant and said, "Do you have frog legs? Well, then hop over the bar and make me a steak." Because I just always wanted to say that.
Yeah.
It's the reason Mark Garland, who's also here, Mark Garland and I wanted to learn scuba diving.
Yeah.
And we had one vacation. It was after Atlantic City in like 1990. We had 2 weeks off. And Mark Garland and I took scuba lessons in Maui. And everybody asked us why we chose Maui. Because the best scuba diving. We said, one reason. Here today, gone to Maui. We just wanted to say that. And that's the kind of thing that makes Mark Garland and I, as you know, laugh hysterically and forever. And we laugh still about the day. You guys know how to scuba dive? Well, we were there today, gone to Maui. So I had to say, then jump over the bar and cook me a steak. But I had steak tartare right on the Champs-Élysées.
Uh-huh.
And I saw the Louvre for 10 minutes and walked by the Eiffel Tower, went to soundcheck, did a show, got in the train, left. I was out of that hellhole.
I was there longer than that.
You have relatives there.
Yeah, my sister lives there. So we got to hang out with her, go see like a regular part of Paris. But it's still such a beautiful city. The hard part that we could not adjust to is the prevalence of bicycles.
Yeah, they'll take your ass off.
And they hate you for it. But people yelling at you in French doesn't sound nearly as aggressive as American. So
there's more hate behind it.
Well, that's true.
It just doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
We should make some, put more hate into
it. Yeah, we're like, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, yeah, sure.
Fuck
sure.
You.
I'll work on it tomorrow. but boy, I could not adjust to looking out for bikes properly. I was that ogre.
And they can fuck you up. They can kill you.
Right. Yeah.
They killed somebody. Somebody like famous died being hit by a bicycle.
Well, they don't give a fuck. The bikes go wherever they want. There's car lanes for cars. The bikes go there. There's sidewalks for humans. The bikes go there. There's bike lanes. The bikes are obviously there, and they hate when you're in their lane. And you're like, you can go everywhere. How come I can't go in your lane? If you're riding in the park, you're playing chess, they'll just ride a bike right through. They don't care.
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't care.
What else you do in France? Any food?
I did. I tried a lot of French food, and then my kids found every place that served pizza.
Do you get their fries?
Yeah, their fries are very good. And
didn't have steak tartare, did you?
I didn't have steak tartare, but I did have steak frites. And some kind of duck l'orange. So I did tried their...
Means orange duck.
Oh, what a waste of time. I could have done that at home.
Yeah.
No, the food was great. The walk around, it's just the non-grid aspect of the streets.
Did your children do well on the flight?
They did, except on the flight home, we had to connect to Amsterdam.
Amsterdam.
Same size as this ranch, mm-hmm. and fly from there. So it was 9.5 hours. And by then, my youngest kid said, I don't want to watch screens. I don't want to play games. I just want to be home about 1.5 hours out. So that was, he reached his limit there. And so we had to figure that out then. But it was really fun to go around with my whole family. We had all never been there before. So we're just navigating it.
Had you been to Europe before?
I've been to England and Scotland.
And your sister speaks fluent French?
Yes. She speaks fluent French. And she's lived there since 2007. Mm-hmm. So people can still sense the American in her. So they'll try to correct her from time to time. And then I watched her school people as someone who's lived in France long enough to...
She would correct French people on their French?
French people try to correct her as if she was a tourist. And then she let them know how much... how long she lived there, how much she knew about
you
France.
You can take the girl out of Jersey.
Yeah. And then her boyfriend took us to a pub.
You know Born to Run?
Yeah.
You know Born to Run? You know who did that? You know where he's from?
And I watched France play England in a rugby match in a pub. That was really fun.
Which side were they on?
And France won at like the last second, so it was really exciting. Oh. It was really cool.
They have pubs in France?
They
don't call them pubs.
They don't call them pubs. And they're definitely modeled after, like, hey, doesn't this look like America or England kind of thing.
We don't have pubs in America. We bars. Have,
right.
Yeah.
We'll call someplace a pub, though.
You will?
Yeah.
Okay.
There is a... Someone's going to write in with a distinction. There is a distinction between a bar and a pub. And I think that's something to do
ready,
with...
Rich.
I think it's something to do with food. So I'm just warning you that you're going to get that ready, Rich. That's going to come in.
All I'm thinking about is West Side Story right now.
Okay.
We don't have pubs in America.
That was Bed Sunday School, brought to you by Masterclass. And if you want to get 15% off a Masterclass membership, you can go to masterclass.com/pen. Try that again. Masterclass.com/pen. That was much, much better.
Can I make a quick plug?
Sure.
Playing New York City. First time I'm doing a magic show in New York City at the Pit Loft, Sunday, April 28th. Look for my website or just look for that information online, and you'll find it there. And then 2 days later, I'm doing a show. David Corsaro is hosting a bunch of magicians doing a show.
Oh, he's good.
At City Winery on the 30th. So I'm doing two shows in New York. Catch them if you can.
Catch them if you can. Was Penn Sunday School.
That was Penn Sunday School.
Cha-cha-cha.
To our listening ears.
You become naked.
All nature sings, around us rings the music of our spheres.
Here we are, first of the inaugural recording here.
Oh, I love that.
And you know, and when the Coldplay record comes out and there's big press about how they went to a destination studio, you'll say copycat. That's what you'll say.
You're there first, buddy.
Yeah. You got anybody to thank there, Matt Donnelly?
I do. So big thanks to Josh Zero, Ben, Harry the Gorilla Gician, Don Dottie, Kevin Burke, David McLaughlin, Old Bear Greg, Charlie Sheet Says Trans Rights, No Shit Sherlock, and Por Favor in Puerto Rico. Stephen Breisgirdle and his wife are working on a spatial video for Penn. Good luck. Coach Rat Bastard, does a duck with a boner drag weeds? David, I want to finger your cunt Brenner, Tristan Connett, Mason Gooch, Sagebrush, Matthew Mishu, Luke Mellon, Jason Andrew Davidson, Peter B. Clark, Matt Williams, Soapy Fresh, Brad Sherlag, Steve Feldman, Jonathan P., NewRuleFX.com, Eric M. Ryan, Krista Hatchipi Loop McKinney, Danny Insert Meta Joke Here Ruse, MDM, I Don't Like That Patreon Has Limited Me to 50 Characters, Adam Stickney, Nathan Julian, Jeremy in Shanghai, Chris Harris, Petty Officer Scoop, Daniel, I Put My Symptoms in IMDb instead of WebMD, and I Have a Case of Bad Gary Busey. William Wangreen, David K, Blue Drinks Film says, please tell me the TCFE story again. Brandon Knapp, Nick Dingman, Colin Durham, Susie Felber, Lancey Menchu, Harlan Liam Clark, Michelle Yeiser, and Brogan Hastings.
Good. We know we love you.